The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a running jump.
My patience begins.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good evening. We are back live on the air.
Good to be back.
I'm sorry, I didn't introduce you yet.
Oh.
So anyway, before I was interrupted. No, but seriously. Yeah, we're back on the air. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. It's me and Jordan.
Hello.
We're here to entertain you for the next hour or so. And today, we dedicate this show to that ultimate superhero to whom we wouldn't be here today if he hadn't saved the city of Gotham. Single-handed on us, and he had help, but...
Yeah.
We dedicate this to Batkid.
Batkid is awesome.
Little 5-year-old Miles Scott, who had a make-a-wish. He's been fighting leukemia all his life. He's in remission. He had a make-a-wish. He didn't want to meet John Cena like a lot of kids. He wanted San Francisco to be transformed into Gotham. He wanted to run around town and fight crime. And I know a lot of people thought it was crazy and laughed at it, but...
Whoever did, kiss my ass.
Over 11,000 Make-A-Wish volunteers got together to help this little kid fulfill his wish of saving Gotham as Batkid. So, there are real heroes in the world.
Yes, there are.
Now, other than that, how are you, Jordan?
I'm great. I'm actually published in in a anthology book.
Who the hell would do such a thing?
Mr. T.C. DeWitt. The book is a horror anthology book called The End of the World Writing Group Presents Horror. I have written a short story in film script form, and it is actually available for free online at this moment.
Okay. There seems to be a little confusion here. You know, horror is, it's not, I don't like horror, so, you know, that scares me, and yet you want to bring horror to me anyway. I mean.
Well, you can go download it on lulu.com, www.lulu.com. It ain't going to cost you enough for people.
All right, I bet if I look at it and I get scared, I'm going to come blame you, okay?
Well, hold on. There is something else I'd just like to say real quick. My pal, Valerie.
Oh, yeah, pals now. Okay.
Hold on. I promise you I can say something about this. My pal, Valerie, her brother hit a little trouble and needs financial support legally. So if you could, listening could go by GoFundMe.com/defendcastellanos,
uh-huh.
And donate to his legal fund, I know they would appreciate it greatly. They would appreciate the help right now.
Okay, we got a new caller in the 773 area code. Who's this, caller?
My name is Chicago John. I'm calling for the Surfing Show.
Jonathan.
Chicago John.
No, Jordan Cobb. And Silver Surfer.
The man who has a podcast won't invite me on. But it's okay. I'm not like other people.
Don't feel offended. He won't invite me either. And I'm a soul brother.
Well, I wish the both of y'all get interesting enough that I can have you on my office.
Wait, what?
Oh, interesting? We're not interested. All the time I spend, he down in Austin this year. Be so that.
Okay.
Anyway, Jordan, you already did. Jordan's been on the show, so he's already been here.
I'm going to forget that remark, okay? Because I remember you was a nothing and a nobody, and I was there for you. But it's cool. It's cool. Anyway. How are you, Jonathan?
I'm doing well. I can talk comic books with my comic book brethren.
Okay.
Awesome.
Let's talk a little box office real quick.
All right.
Now, we're in the second week of our almighty thunder god Thor, and he almost got taken down this week. He almost lost the number one spot to some black folk. Friday came around and Best Man Holiday was beating out Thor. But now we're at Sunday and Thor the Dark World beat out Best Man Holiday by $8 million. It brought in $38 million for the weekend. It's what is that noise in the background?
Sorry.
Thanks for stopping the noise. But anyway. What's wrong with my browser? Now my browser is frozen. Hold on.
See, the reason why Thor won is because all the black people had to go to church on Sunday. So
they couldn't set aside plans to go see Best Man Holiday after church.
So they...
I'm just saying, there's time after church.
Now, if you went to a black church, it lasts about at least 20 hours.
That's not true. Only like,
I haven't been to all kinds of churches, black church yet.
They only last long once a month. Normally. I mean, some churches, yeah, they go all day and people get caught up on it. But the average church don't do it every weekend. All right, so it's total so far domestically is $146 million, and worldwide is up to $479 million.
That's good money for now. Oh, by the way, John, if I'm ever in Ohio or your part of it, please feel free to take me to a black church. I feel like that'd be interesting.
Now, the original Thor made $181 million in its domestic run. So, this looks like it'll surpass that easily. And, you know. So, I gotta get my page back with my news. Until then.
I actually enjoyed this Thor movie a lot better than the first one. I know a lot of people give number two some shit. But, yeah, I find it more entertaining. I mean, as far as the movie goes, it just seems like a television show, like a television special, more than a movie.
What seemed like a television show?
The Thor movie, Thor 2, Electric Boogaloo.
It seemed like a television show.
Yeah, because, you know, you don't really know why the elves are doing the elf stuff.
Okay,
just like, oh,
okay,
we need
okay.
This
see,
thing.
You call up here starting trouble, and you haven't called in years, and then when you do call up, you start in trouble putting down my movie. What's wrong with you? It spelled it out. They wanted to bring the darkness back. How hard is that to understand?
Look, as underwhelming as Malekith did turn out to be, I did understand his motivation clearly. It's like, I was the ruler of the dark. I want to bring that back. Pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I got that for the most part. I really just didn't care at the end. I mean, I enjoyed the whole watching the movie. It was a good movie. I'm not going to downplay it and say it wasn't. But as far as the motivation or, you know, trying to understand that villain, I didn't do their job.
You must call it a great movie. But anyway, let's have some news. Jordan, what news story you want to start with first?
Okay, first off, we got the news of Marvel and Netflix's 4 series deal. We get our first two creative teams. Drew Goddard, who people may know as a writer on Angel, Alias, Lost, World War Z, and most famously recently, co-writing with Joss Whedon and directing The Cabin in the Woods, is going to be a showrunner on Netflix's Daredevil series. Whereas Melissa Rosenberg, who was the showrunner of the first 4 seasons of Dexter, but will be more notable for having adapted Twilight films, is in charge of the Jessica Jones series on Netflix.
Okay. Well,
how do we feel about those two choices?
I can't say I know a lot about the people they're choosing, and I'm just hoping that because it's on Netflix, that they won't pull any punches. That, you know, some things they might be afraid of doing on regular TV, they won't be afraid to do on Netflix. You know, and if it has to get a bit violent, let's get a bit violent. You know, if somebody dies, yeah, it's okay. I mean. I think
Drew Goddard is a damn good choice for Daredevil. I enjoy his writing, and I could see a little bit of parallel between what he did with Angel. I mean, brooding character with deep, you know, that was explored deeply, you know, his flaws, you know, held in his emotions, growing up in an urban environment, brooding. I mean, I think Drew Goddard's the right choice for Daredevil. I honestly feel like that. I think he can do a damn good job, and he's written a majority of my favorite episodes of Angel and Captain Wood. As for Melissa Rosenberg, I think she did amazing on Dexter, and she's mostly done television writing. And people, if you want to discredit her for Twilight, let me say this. She was adapting from someone else's work. She, that was not her own work, okay? She was adapting from someone else. And I really think her best work was season 4 of Dexter, where she was running a whole show on that. Go watch Dexter season 4, because it's also an amazing piece of television, and you'll see how I feel she could be the right choice. Now, Marvel's made good decisions with its cast and crew, so I believe Marvel might have made the right choice. Also, she was attached to doing Jessica Jones before it first fell through, before the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Now, what do you think? Since most people couldn't pick Jessica Jones out, you know, If she was real walking down the street, you think that'll be as successful as Daredevil and Luke Cage and Iron Fist, or?
Here's my prediction. Even though Luke Cage and Iron Fist have strong cult following with fans, and with I am a huge fan of both of their characters, I do feel like the most successful one of these will be Daredevil. Because we'll still at least know who Daredevil is, be it, you know, for the actual comics or the 2003 Ben Affleck.
Well, let's just hope everything turns out well. You got any thoughts on this, Jonathan, before we move on?
I just hope to see a good show. I can, you know, I can care less if the other lady, if she did Twilight, she just better leave that with Twilight, you know. So hopefully she just makes a good show for us all to enjoy.
Next story I want to talk about now. We mentioned it in the past that the Fantastic Four was being canceled. But now good news is it's being brought back. And a month later, Fantastic Four number one will relaunch. And who's doing this?
James Robinson
and Leonard Kirk as artist. Now he says he's going to have the Fantastic Four members plus the kids of the Future Foundation. It looks like they're going back to the blue uniforms, which do we have to go back to the blue uniforms? I mean, I thought we moved away from that, but it seemed like every time there's a change, at some point somebody comes along and has to bring it back to the way it's always been, and there's never no permanent change. And they should just stick with the costumes they have now. I mean, putting black on the blue costumes is it's done already. It's tired. Any thoughts on James Robinson taking the helm of the Fantastic Four? Because I'll be honest, the guy on there now, he did not do a good job.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, James Robinson is one of my favorite writers. And I really like what he was doing with Earth 2 at DC before. He was a cast of DC editorial and just said, fuck you guys, I'm moving on.
I know James Robinson is a good writer, but Matt Fraction. He's a great writer, but
Matt Fraction's a great writer. Again, he's amazing. Just go read Daredevil, or if you want, his creator-owned series, Sex Crime.
But this portrayal of the Fantastic Four has been bland, and
I kind of dropped that after 3 issues. I mean, I guess all that creativity. Well, obviously, I'm going to say Hawkeye's the better book he's doing.
Uh huh. And then this is the characterization of the two kids. It's just he turned them from special kids to just two little kids along for the ride.
Yeah, see, that's what I didn't like about that, because the Fantastic Kids were such characters the last time, but as soon as Fraction started running, it's like, they're just here.
Now, his FF book was fine. I wasn't a big fan that it was all done for jokes, but I liked the characterization of all the kids in the Future Foundation, so it kept me going, but I stopped going on with Medusa and She-Hulk and Scott Lang and all them, and that didn't, I really didn't care for it. So, anyway. Let's hope I get interested in some Fantastic Four. Oh, man. Yeah. So, have you seen the TV trailer for Old Boy yet?
No.
Yeah, they got the television trailer out. You can look at it. But we are less than a week away from the day of the Doctor.
Yeah.
I had to drop you off.
The day of the Doctor, the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special.
And of course, they have online the Night of the Doctor, which shows the transformation of the 8th Doctor.
Yes, that was. Oh my god, that was so amazing. I literally lost my shit seeing Paul McGann on screen again.
Yes, Paul McGann, but he didn't turn into the Ninth Doctor.
Or no, the Ninth Doctor.
We thought he
War.
Huh?
Yeah, War Doctor. The War Doctor. That's what he's regenerated.
So he turned into a guy that didn't call himself the Doctor. And we get to find that out in Day of the Doctors. And I'm kind of glad they're going to show how the term war was ended. And
that's my most anticipated thing besides the team up of Matt Smith and David Tennant.
Now I assume that Paul McGann, that his character did die during the time war, but in battle.
Yeah, and regenerate into 9. That's what I and I'm sure many Doctor Who fans.
It turned out he didn't participate in the time war for the most part. He tried to stay away from it. And now he can't. Because we know the Time Lords are crazy and the Daleks are dangerous. So. And this is coming on at 2:50 Eastern Standard Time?
Yeah, 2:50 Eastern Standard Time, 1:50 p.m. my time, this upcoming November 21st on BBC America.
Now, are you going to go see it in the theater on Monday?
I am not. I am going to be at home.
I'm wondering, like, okay, they're going to show it on TV first and then show it in 3D in the theater for one day.
Well, that depends on where you are, because some theaters are simulcasting it live on the day of, but some are doing it on the
27th. I need to find if the theater's doing it here, because I would like to see it in the theater live.
It's Doctor Who. Lord. It's kind of like that Power Rangers, Power Rangers, the Red Marathon every year. And the Power Rangers, we get all the red.
Why are you bringing up Power Rangers?
Because Doctor Who reminds me of. It really reminds me of, there was this old show on the Christian Network called Bible Man. And Doctor Who and Bible Man almost had like the same effect at the same time when they broke out.
I'm not sure I know what you're talking about, but fine. Jonathan. What were you saying?
No, I was just saying, you just gotta look it up. I'll make sure I send you a clip of it.
What you got next for us, Jordan?
Well, some music can't be avoided. It was announced last night that AMC has ordered a pilot of the controversial comic series Reacher, based on the Garth Ennis, Steve Dillon Vertigo series. Now, this has been a much loved and talked about comic that ran from 1995 to 2000. Myself, I personally have not read it yet. It's been one of those comics that's been burning a hole in my must-read list. I actually do start planning to read it towards the end of the year, because I'm putting it on my Christmas list, and hopefully someone in my family
is AMC the right place to do a show like Preacher?
Well, I haven't read Preacher yet, but I do know the content of the book, and I do not know. Part of me thinks this isn't quite the right place for somewhere like that. I mean, Showtime, HBO, oh yeah, totally. That would be, the best place for something like Preacher. But AMC, not quite sure about that.
Well, I hope if they do it, they're going to do it right. As always. Better AMC than a regular network.
Here's the one thing that really sticks out about it is who's helping to get it done, and that's Seth Rogen. He started like dropping hints on Twitter saying, like, looks like about 7 years of hard work are about to pay off. I may get to bring one of my favorite stories ever to life. And he started listing tweeting out names for characters of the series. Arthur, John Wayne, the Saint of Killers.
Is he going to write? Can he write a serious storyline?
I will say, Seth Rogen is a good writer. I mean, some of the more, like, serious...
Yeah, he didn't do a good job writing Green
Hornet. If you want to say serious parts of This is the End, and I don't know Press, what is spelling about friendship and such, I thought those were really good. I have to read Preacher. I have not had the time nor the finance it to successfully, you know, be able to collect creatures. So hopefully I change that very soon.
Okay, well, I'm hoping. You got any thoughts on Preacher, Jonathan?
You know what, AMC having it, they're looking for that next really good adaptation that they can put to the screen. They want to keep that comic book type of people and other people are watching, you know, watching their station. At the same time, what I hear the background about Preacher and all the content that it has, it may be a little nuts a little bit. I heard it gets kind of crazy, really crazy. So we'll see how much the envelope AMC can push. They already got, you know, Walking Dead, and they're doing, you know, okay with it, as long as they have good showrunners for it, because Walking Dead is really, I'm not the biggest fan of it until last week. You know, last week's episode was really one of the best episodes of Walking Dead I ever seen. So if they can get a good showrunner for this new Preacher show, they may have a hit in their hand. If not, there's always the book.
Speaking of Walking Dead, they're saying that the spinoff Walking Dead was going to be a prequel series, which Rick was only, you know, what, coma for a few months, right?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I kind of tapered off of that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, he was. It wasn't like he was in a coma for years or whatever, just a few months. So, it's just going to take place at the start of somebody eating a bad hamburger and then biting somebody else and then spreading from there, or some umbrella corporation unleashing a virus or what? I mean, what are we talking?
Yeah, I really hope that, you know, maybe they may have a prequel dealing with the Telltale game. That's something that kind of makes.
The what?
Yeah, it's the Telltale Walking Dead game, because that's somewhat of a prequel in its own self.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, they're saying they're going to start from the early days of the pandemic breaking out. So, you know, maybe they'll reveal where the virus come from. You know, maybe it's Wrath of God stuff. Nature. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen movies where the trees have killed off people. Right? Y'all remember that movie, right?
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg, where the grass was killing everybody.
Yes, I do. I remember very much.
I mean, we don't know. All I know is, if the zombie apocalypse break out, I hope I have a sword. Because, you know, I see Michonne slicing off heads, and I'm like, why don't the rest of y'all get a sword? I mean, find a Home Depot or something, or, you know, a Costco somewhere, and raid that place.
But they already said she always don't look like that. The way she uses it, like she's supposed to that's the way that she has to be dull. She should be dull.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you, Jonathan.
I said the sword that she has and everything that she's doing, that sword that she has, it shouldn't even be working as sharp as it is now. Unless she's sharper than it, unless she has some type of, you know, that sword that she has looks like the one you get from a flea market.
Yeah,
so,
well, it's working for her.
Alright, just make sure when the apocalypse happens, we have zombies. Don't rely on that as your only weapon.
I'll be happy when she cuts the governor's head off.
I'm excited for you not to accept the return of the governor.
Yeah, I didn't think they would bring him back this soon.
This soon? Well, I think they kind of have to. I mean, it's been like a while, and I started.
It's only been okay. What? This is like what, the fifth episode, right? Tonight.
The sixth episode, I believe. Yeah, I believe so. I think tonight's episode.
I thought they would use him in the second half of the season.
How many episodes are there this season?
12, 16?
Hold on. I'm looking up. There is the standard 14. I mean, no, there's 16 episodes.
Yeah, so 8 season. And 8, right?
Yeah, 8 per, yeah, 8 this year, 8 next year, and tonight's episode will be episode 6.
Now, he may be on the show, but he may not necessarily, like, you know, interact with the group in any way or take some kind of revenge. You just may see him being crazy out there spying on them and feeding zombies dead rats or whatever. But yeah, he's lurking and he's crazy. He wants Rick and the gang so bad. He needs to go before it's too late. That last episode though, did you think Glenn was gonna bite it?
Nah.
What about Sasha?
Nah. I think all the main characters were protected.
Sasha already died on one show this season. It'd be a shame if she died in a second show this soon.
What show did she die in already?
She died on Once Upon a Time.
Oh, man. Who was she?
We say?
I said, who was she on Once Upon a Time?
She was this bad woman. What was her name? I had the name blanking. Anyway, she was being manipulated by Peter Pan, who's a villain in this show, to kidnap the little kid named Henry and bring him to Neverland. And he did, and they thought they was doing this to get rid of magic, not knowing that they was working for Peter Pan, and then the Lost Boys showed up. And her name was Tamara. And she got shot in the back with an arrow, and her partner got his shadow ripped out and killed. And so she wasn't dead yet. And then Rumpelstiltskin found him. And this little boy Henry is the grandson of Rumpelstiltskin, who they came to rescue. And so he makes the arrow disappear. He thinks everything's fine. She's like, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And he's like, no. And he ripped her heart out and crushed it. So, what a way to go, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking, damn, she died in one episode this season. And you know she don't have long for Walking Dead, so. But apparently she's going to stick around for another couple episodes at least. We need to take a break. It's break time, people. You know, I make these audio breaks, and I haven't posted on Blog Talk in a while, so I definitely have to do that this week, and I apologize. I'm just, you know, I'm lazy at times, and I have a lot on my mind, and I've been sick, and sicker than y'all realize. But let's see, let's find a song for our friend Batkid to play while we do a break. Where are you, Batman theme song? Where you at? You gonna hold on, Jonathan?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad. Now, Jordan, I know you're coming back, right?
Yeah.
People in the chat room, don't bail on us. We need your support.
So I'm the co-host. Where else am I going to go?
Wait. Where's the Batman theme? Let's see. Justice League, Korra. Oh, man. We're going to talk about Legend of Korra when we come back, too. I want to talk about that.
Oh, please.
Oh, I can't find it, so. Oh, hey, okay, never mind. I got it. All right, hold on, folks. That's for you, Batkid. That's for you.
Keep y'all from safe.
That's right. Keep it safe. All right. I hope to make a wish one day to be a superhero.
I'll make sure to give you some cancer.
I need to start an old man Make-A-Wish Foundation. So maybe my wish should be to dress up as a crime fighter and have some nice looking women as villainesses come in and I had to stop them and take them to jail. And I'm being bad. I'm sorry. Stop me when I do stuff like this, Jordan. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's your job. You're supposed to keep me in check.
I will. Maybe paycheck, huh?
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, got promos to do, folks. This is Rant EM Radio, and this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. We come back here every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're on Rant EM Radio, I believe iTunes, Stitcher, a few other places. Except for weekends where there's a wrestling pay-per-view, and we come on at 5:30. So next week is the Survivor Series. We'll be on at 5:30 instead of 6. Join the Rant EM group page on Facebook. Join the What Are You Reading page on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at SilverSurfer4FOR. You can follow Jordan at Woco Joke, right?
Joe Woco. J-O-W-O-C-O.
You can follow us on Twitter. Now, also on Rant EM Radio, on every Tuesday at 8 p.m., there's the Rant. Double A and the Gang goes over wrestling news of the week and recaps Raw. Fridays, actually, you get the Rant recap, the early days from Blog Talk Radio, where all day long he replays his old audio from his Blog Talk Radio days. Good times. And he's trying to embarrass me, I think, because he's showing those old episodes when I first started calling in, and I was young and dumb and didn't know anything. But it's cool. I'll get him back one day. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Saturday night is the wrestling call-in show. William Morgan. It's open forum on wrestling talk of any kind. William takes your call and allows you to talk about wrestling and so on and so forth. And we have other fine shows on the network. There's Young Head vs. Old Buck. There's a new episode up now. There's Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Lee and Lex has a show. And I got to talk about Lee for his next episode of Epic, which he goes over indie books and pop culture because he says I don't cover enough indie. Of course, he's never around to call in and talk indie on my show, so I help him with his show. Okay, what am I forgetting? Oh, yeah, check out the website for the articles and Double H Taste Challenges. This week he has a new video up on the Big King sandwich from Burger King and the rib sandwich from Burger King. And I'm sorry, that rib sandwich does not look like pork. It looks more like a pork substitute. I mean, it's one thing with the McRib. We know that's spam. But that Burger King pork sandwich don't even look like pork. And I don't even eat pork, so. But I know fake pork when I see it. Anyway. Probably why, all the more reason why I could eat it, but I'm not a pork eater, so. You eat pork, don't you, Jonathan?
Well, we don't eat pork.
It's a damn shame, man. No swine on the mind. No swine.
Oh. But I enjoy pork. It's delicious.
Legend of Korra. I cheated, folks. They showed two episodes this week, but I went online and watched the last two episodes.
As did I.
As did everybody. Yeah. Can't wait.
So, I just want to say up front, we are about to talk about the finale.
No, don't spoil the finale.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, you can go online right now and watch it at Nickelodeon.com.
Oh, Nickelodeon posted it? I found it someplace else.
But. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Nickelodeon posted. And then I went on this monitor trying to watch the last two. They had it taken off. So I had to go and watch my other place.
I found a little site because I was looking for an episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal that I missed. And saw that they had it on there. So, But let's talk about the episode that did come on. Varric, his evil, crazy self, was trying to get Republic City to go into war so he could profit off of it. And that, of course...
In the end, he was right.
What?
I said, in the end, he was right.
I'm having trouble hearing you, man. Talk a little lower.
I said in the end, Varric was right.
No, he wasn't right. I mean, he was doing it only for the money. He didn't He didn't know what was going on. Yeah. He just wanted to make a profit.
And they decided to go ahead and invade, and Unalaq wouldn't have time enough to secure that whole area and go into that other dimension.
Well, the two episodes that came on revolved around the Avatar and gang having to rescue Jenora, whose spirit was trapped in the spirit realm, close the portals before the harmonic convergence, and stop. Help me out here, Jordan. Jordan?
Yeah? The episode so far.
No. Give me the name of the evil spirit they had to stop.
Oh, Rava. No, wait.
Vatu, yes.
Vatu.
And, of course, this is spoiler, so of course, they weren't going to stop. It wasn't going to be that easy to stop them, because you had to have a big confrontation between the Avatar and evil, which takes place next week on TV if you haven't gone online yet and watched it. I kind of like the ending, I kind of like the season. I can see where some people may not like Korra as much as they like the original Avatar series, but it's a different show, so you can't expect the same thing.
No, I agree. I mean, I think Korra got off to a bit of a rocky start this season, but it has improved vastly in its second half.
And, Boomy Show.
Yeah, I tell you that when they went, you know what, this whole, after she went to, Period Releasing Island, you know, she went back to the old Korra that we all enjoyed her from the first season.
Boomy showed that he is as good as he say he is when it comes to getting out of a sticky situation. Now, it's not always planned, but he has that knack for some reason. But now they had to go to the South Pole to get into the spirit world to stop these evil plans, right? And of course, what's the Korra's uncle's name?
Unalaq,
yeah. He got his army protecting the South Pole. I'm thinking, why don't they just go to the North Pole where they wouldn't expect them to travel to and go into the spirit realm through that portal? Why didn't they do that? Wouldn't that have been easier?
Oh, I think she did it because, remember, when she saw her mom, her mother told her that her father was held captive by Unalaq. So, she wanted to go and save her dad as well.
Yeah, I know she wanted to save her dad, but she was trying to get into the portal first. That was the most important thing. She had to get back into the spirit realm.
Yeah. Wobbly wobbly, timely winding, she wanted to save her dad. And, you know.
So now, will we have 10,000 years of peace? Or 10,000 years of darkness. I guess if
why don't we just have 5,000 years of peace and 5,000 years of darkness, and then that's down?
No, you can't. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that because darkness never wants to allow peace to reign. So, yeah, you can't destroy one or the other permanently, but, you know, if darkness takes over, there is no peace. Jordan, anything to say?
This season, this last few episodes, the only thing I had the problem with, and I'm not going to spoil it, but I'll just say Deus Ex Machina, and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. So that's the only thing that kind of came out of nowhere for me.
I'll say about these two penultimate episodes, I love the moment with Bolin at the Untak premiere. Mm-hmm. That was a great moment for Bolin. And so they're like, yeah, okay, Bolin. Bolin's awesome. Also, I still love Varric. I don't care. Varric is amazing and needs to be on season 3.
He is amazing.
Yeah, Varric's awesome.
He's like Tony Stark. I'm just saying, if it was in that first song,
he is. And I will say, And those episodes were excellent setup, good episodes in themselves, great return of Team Avatar, and nice lead into what I think, into the finale, which we will discuss next week.
Yeah, we will. We'll get into that next week. Yeah, folks, we won't spoil next week. The next week, if you haven't watched it already, until after it's aired on TV. But another show, Arrow. I tell you, the thing about Arrow is it's running laps around S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm willing to get S.H.I.E.L.D. another season before I give up on it. Because this first season, you know, they may not be willing to go as far as they need to make the show good. And they may do it next season if it comes back. But, Arrow has just been, did you watch Arrow this week, Jordan?
Yes, I did.
All right, so this was a Diggle-centric show where...
Yes, which I thought was very welcome and kind of needed.
Now, Diggle has a nemesis in Lawton...
Floyd Lawton.
Say again now?
Floyd Lawton.
Floyd Lawton.
Also known
AKA
in the DC
Deadshot.
Universe as Deadshot.
And he killed his brother... Andy Diggle, who is, of course, a comic book writer, which is why they named Diggle Diggle.
And his name was John Diggle. He did Green Arrow Year One.
Right. So, he's been wanting revenge on Floyd Lawton for killing his brother, and this has been a storyline from last season. And they thought he was dead, and they found out he wasn't dead, and then him and Arrow had a falling out because Arrow wasn't there when they had a chance to capture Floyd Lawton. And of course, he couldn't make lovey-dovey with his ex-sister-in-law because he wanted revenge for his brother. And he had this woman in this special organization called Argus who was, finding out where Lawton was so he could hunt her down. Then she disappeared. So we get the introduction of Amanda Wallace.
Amanda Waller.
Yeah, I meant to say
they pretty much kind of see them.
Amanda Waller, who in comic book land is a big, hefty older woman.
And that's kind of a big deal because it's one of the more, actual looking normal people.
But they slowly been making her younger and thinner.
New 52. And, well, I would say this is, like, the New 52 Waller, but let's face it,
it's
kind of CW side.
Okay, let's look at the history of Amanda Waller on TV and film.
Can I just say real quick,
what?
Just get DCH Pounder, people, please?
Yeah, okay.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard to get DCH Pounder.
Yeah, I mean, she could have played the real-life Waller. She didn't have to be overweight. She's an older woman. She has the voice that you're used to from the cartoon. But when Smallville came on, they used Pam Grier. Sexy as always.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Yes, I would cut your head off, Jordan, if she would take the sacrifice to if she asked me to sacrifice you for her, I would do it. And it's not personal, Jordan, but she is my all-time love of my life. And then in the movie in Green Lantern, they had Angela Bassett, sexy as ever, but not overweight. And so then when the New 52 came around, they decided to make Amanda Waller thinner and younger. And now they have her on Arrow, and she's thinner and younger. And some people don't like that, and some people don't care. I don't care. I mean, if they want to reimagine her, that's fine. But, yeah, I mean, CCH Pounder could easily play her and be the older Amanda Waller if they wanted to do that, but that's not what they want to do. Anyway, getting back to the story, so they captured Diggle and said, look, our agent disappeared working for you. You need to go find her. And so now they have to go to Russia, which Ali has his Russian connections. KGB beast, for anybody who wants to know.
Yeah, I gotta say, this episode was really good. It mostly focused on Ziggle, and that's great. I thought it was welcome. The thing, I think the concrete stuff shows down is, like, I think the show's trying to force in a love triangle between Ollie, Felicity, and Summer Glau's character, because Ollie and Summer Glau.
No, Summer Glau's not. She's not interested in no love connection. She just got. She's a businesswoman, so she took care of business, and that was it. Now, Felicity.
It's interesting enough that she and Ollie connected over their brokenness of, you know, being a broken person, you know, having to rely on themselves and, well, speaking Russian.
I don't like that. Sorry, I don't like that they're making Felicity googly eyes for Ollie. That makes it kind of.
I hate that because it takes, because Felicity doesn't need that. Felicity,
it's making her weak. It's making her weak. If she's gonna week after week pine for Oliver and wish she could be with him while he's sleeping with other women. Look, she was a strong woman, smart. You know, they was expanding what she was doing this season from last season. You know, she she redid the Arrow Cave and everything, and got all the equipment up to date. And she's like, "Look, I'm a smart woman. I'm not your assistant."
And they just seem to kind of seem to forget that. I mean, I wish they weren't doing this. Felicity's a great character.
It's bad writing on males' part to think that women need to either be damsel in distress or love interest or googly eye over somebody. All right.
Well, yeah, it's bullshit.
And then they almost did the side thing with his sister,
Thea
dropping Roy because the lawyer's like, "Yeah, that's not a bad look for your mom." And so she's, you know, they did a little CW. Oh, we can't be together.
I will fight for us to be together, my love. I will never leave you.
But they squashed
that.
I have to give them credit for that.
No, I thought that was a lesser part of the episode. Because, again, this episode's all about Dale, and I'm grateful for that. But I didn't mind that stuff. It's the stuff I really did not like was the whole book. Making a love triangle
of
Felicity. That's bullshit.
No, it's not a love triangle.
Summer
Glau, she ain't trying to have any love interests. In fact, she there's a theory that she may be one of Ra's al Ghul's daughters. And she knows Oliver is the green arrow.
Really?
Yeah. Now, whether that turns out to be true or not. She was listed in his book. So, had he stuck with taking out people in the book, he'd eventually got to her. But, you know, it wasn't about taking out people in the book. It was about stopping Malcolm Merlyn, which they did. And he of course, goes back to the League of Shadows. And we know Ra's al Ghul's not showing up and Talia's not showing up, but her sister's supposed to show up, and Summer Glau may be that sister. So, anyway. You find out that Deadshot is in this prison over in Russia. And they have to help him escape. And he tells Diggle, you know, "I didn't kill your brother by accident. He was a contract. And people that hire me, they're called Hive." So now they've introduced the Hive, which that's not really tied into Green Arrow in any way, is it?
Last time I checked, not really.
So, all right. Well,
but they did continue the whole thing on the boat in the flashback on the island with Dr. Anthony Ivo.
Yeah, the island stuff. It turns out that Need to write this stuff down, folks.
I'll say this.
What you call sister's name again? Sarah. Yeah.
Sarah.
She tricked Ollie into giving up the position of Slade in a. Blanking on her name. Old age is just setting in on me, folks.
I will say, I would give
Shadow. Shadow.
I would give this episode a B plus.
Now, of course, we know they won't die no time soon, but Slade's face is burnt up. I thought he was going to lose an eye, but apparently he hasn't yet, but we know he will eventually lose his eye. And, two more episodes, and I think, they're going to make us wait for The Flash.
Actually, one more.
No, I'm saying next week he won't be on there, right?
Okay, next episode is called State versus Queen with the return of Count Vertigo.
But I'm saying, the week after that, there's no Arrow because of the holiday.
Oh, yeah, they will take a week off. Because it'll be the day before Thanksgiving.
Are you sure it's going to be a week? Because usually this time of year when they stop, they don't come back to January.
Well, there will be two more episodes after that. They will be, they'll introduce.
So we'll get two more episodes before they go on their Christmas break.
Well, okay, like I said, the two episodes after that will air on December 4th and 11th. They're called The Scientist and Three Ghosts.
To answer your question, nobody. It looks like Beware the Batman is canceled. They probably will show the rest of the series sometime next year, but yeah, it's basically canceled for the most part.
Hey, that's a shame. That was actually really good coming in to itself.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, I don't know. The one show that most people I know could care less about is the show they're saying is the more popular one, which is Teen Titans Go. You know, the last episode I watched was them wrecking the Batcave. Because Robin was making a big deal that he was babysitting the Batcave. And because it was the Batcave, the rest wanted to see it, and they started fucking with Batman stuff. Like it was some music, some playground. Ridiculous. What'd you say, Jordan?
Well, it seems, I'm looking up right now, that the voice actor of Batman on Beware the Batman, it seems like he's actually confirmed that the show will be back in January.
Right, but the fact that they just abruptly stopped it to January, that just shows that it's not coming back for a second season. They'll finish showing the shows that are already made, and that'll probably be about it.
That's a shame.
I understand some people didn't dig the art style, and I guess some people are used to the same old villains, and seeing newer villains don't register with them, but I thought the show was pretty good. But you know, hey, I have the malarkey when it comes to shows. I found that show I've been watching every day has been canceled. And so, folks, you don't want me to like a show because it will get canceled when I watch it. Shows I don't watch go on for years. Shows I watch get canceled. Yes, I'm cursed. Anyway,
don't watch my show.
Any last thoughts before we end the show?
I'd just like to run off three comics real quick. Amazing X-Men number one. Yes, I too would groan at the thought of another X title, but it's actually a really fun first issue. The return of Nightcrawler, and it's basically setting up a swashbuckling pirate adventure of mutants on pirate ships, one ship being led by Nightcrawler, the other being led by Azazel, and it's being done by Jason Aaron and drawn by Ed McGuinness, and I think it's really good. Speaking of...
Hold on, real quick. I'm glad they bring him back, Nightcrawler, because it was sad the way he died, and the Age of Apocalypse Nightcrawler, he wasn't my cup of tea.
Well, speaking of Jason Aaron, his ongoing Wolverine the X-Men is coming to a close, as recently seen in the February 2014 solicitations from Marvel. They will publish the last two issues, Wolverine and the X-Men number 41 and number 42 on that set. And as I said earlier, please do go by GoFundMe.com.
Okay. Is it ending because he's leaving the book, or they ended so they want to just make a new number one?
They are ending the book.
So no one's coming back with writing a book?
No, they are ending it. Wolverine and the X-Men is going to be over in Marvel Comics.
I guess he's going to be spending more time writing Thor. What else?
And as I said, please do go by GoFundMe.com/Castellanos. Help out my friend Val's little brother. He could really use the help. And also, my pick of the week is Batman number 25. Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo continuing 0 year in a second footing with Dark City, where the Riddler has blacked out Gotham City. And once again, Snyder seamlessly weaves Batman's past into its current present with the return of someone from the early days of Detective Comics.
That's it?
Yeah.
Jonathan, any last words? We lost him. Son of a... Look, he hang up without even saying goodbye. What kind of... Damn,
John, what the fuck?
I know. Sorry, son of a... I don't know why I'm friends with him. I don't. He. This is the way he treats me, okay? He just shows up when he wants, hangs up when he wants. He don't invite me on his show. Why don't I have friends, Jordan? Why?
I'm here.
You're more like a villain to me. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, so yeah,
I will get my revenge.
We will be back 5:30 next week, folks. And then following our exit around 7 p.m. be the pre-show for Hell in a Cell. Not Hell in a Cell. Survivor Series. WWE Survivor Series.
Which I will actually join for.
Plus, there'll be a post-show immediately following the pay-per-view. And stick around in the chat room if you want to talk about the matches as they happen and the backstage annex. You can post your opinion on the chat room on Rant EM Radio. And I'm going to try to get up a review of Hunger Games. I'm going to see that tomorrow night. It's going to be very late. For some reason, they're not going to show it to 10:30 at night. So, I'm going to miss a lot of sleep to go see a movie. To bring you my unnecessary opinion. Alright, with that, say goodnight, Jordan.
Good night, everybody.
That's not what I told you to say.
I said goodnight.
No, I said say goodnight, Jordan.
Oh, goodnight, Jordan.
Alright, Jordan, goodnight. Good night, everybody. Peace.